Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter. Wow, that was certainly fine, man. I'll tell you, I gotta always love and appreciate what MT has done. That was, of course, my intro, which I have to thank MT Masonic Temple for incorporating their great song "Blind." Of course, that's from their album "Follow Me," which you, of course, can please do check out at their MySpace. com/MASTEM, and I'm sure you've heard them in my past shows and other shows I've had, and along with their great music. And speaking of shows, I want to announce my next show, which is on June 12th. I'm highly pleased and honored to have Susan Tony, and you've heard some of her songs I've played, and actually Asia is one of her songs I've been playing consistently, because to me it's just a heartfelt song. In fact, most of her songs are very deep, very heartwarming, and get to the matter, and she's got a very unique style, almost reminds me of a sort of a Joni Mitchell style. She's extremely acclaimed and sought after. She's both as a songwriter, and you've probably heard several of her songs on several movies, and that she's going to be, again, on June 12th. And I'm going to be playing, by the way, at the close of this my show, Strange Child, for you. So do check it out. Now, on June 19th, I'm pleased to have, once again, Carrie Fezza, and I had her several times, and she's a highly renowned astrologist as well as intuitive tarot reader, and of course she's going to present her analysis for the next several months per the cosmos to celebrate. I know, everybody said, hey, don't you know what it is? It's the solstice, that summer thing. Somebody sent me a Twitter on that, and I said, okay, thank you. Duh. And anyway, she will be here on the 19th and elaborate what she, according to her analysis of the cosmos, what's going to be, which should be fascinating because she has been highly, highly accurate. And then on the 26th, and this is, by the way, I felt I was, and it seems like almost meant to be, I will be discussing, and I'm sure people in the past have heard me talk about certain issues, particularly prophecies and things like that, but I've decided, and I'm almost compelled to do it, to talk about Ezekiel. So some of you might be surprised by what I'll have to say, and perhaps many of you won't. So, and I want to thank everybody there for listening as well, and of course for future shows, past shows, and so on. I also want to announce to you real quickly, I do have a very special guest waiting on the grips here. On June 13th, from 1 to 5 p.m., I will be having a book signing event for my book, The Heretic. Of course, that's a sequel to When the Angels Have Risen. I will have that event at Barnes & Noble at the Crossroads Commons at 8915 West Charleston. That's in Las Vegas, so if any of you are going to be here around June 13th, please come by. Say hello, whatever. I love to meet new people, especially listeners, and just talk and chat and whatever. I will also be having the following week right after that for the Father's Day weekend on June 20th from 1 to 3. I will be having another book signing event at the Borders in the Town Square Mall, which is really not much of a huge facility, but you'll see Borders right there. Everybody knows about it. It's at, of course, the south end of the Strip, 6521 Las Vegas Boulevard. Again, that's on June 20th from 1 to 3. And, of course, any of you out there have any questions or whatever, comments, thoughts, things, you know, thoughts or things, of course, please email me at flyingpigs@artlover.com. And you can always contact me via MySpace /Andrew Fetter. And, of course, if you have a Twitter account, I'll follow you, you follow me, or vice versa, FlyingPigs26. And I also want to highly recommend everybody, if they can, it's really, go to YouTube, click on Ben Stewart, and check out his movie Comatica. You've probably heard my past shows when we discussed back, I believe I was on the 15th, about his the understandings and his new things, but this is a highly recommended movie dealing with, I believe, with the consciousness in the universe, as well as in a scientific, both a scientific and esoteric manner. And speaking of the universe, I want to welcome, I have a very special guest, like I said. Her name is Robin Marvel. She is an author and a motivational speaker, as well as a coach for life, a life positivity coach for both adults and children, and which includes the awakening of a consciousness to the strengthen your well-being, in other words, your self-worth, while encouraging your universal awareness. So I am honored to have Robin Marvel. How you doing, Robin?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
So I'm glad you emailed me, because it sort of like seems like the universe lays down little steps, because it seems like it's funny. I have one guest who deals with one subject, and then it steps into another stepping stone to another guest that leads into this very similar issue, but on another approach toward the same thing, which I think is sort of widening. But what really caught my eye, I have to say before getting into all your stuff, before I start giving you my Q&A, is your book that dealt with helping kids, in particular girls, and then you have one that just came out about boys and with children, and giving them an understanding of, in a spiritual conscious form, of like chakras and spirituality and more of a universal approach. That's really, and that's what really caught my eye. And then when I started reading your website, you got into more of a different approach, which I believe would be unparalleled, because most people put this demigodish approach toward, like, I'm the guru and you're just a little kid, and it seems that you don't do that. But before I go into that,
okay,
most people are going to go, who the hell is Robin Marvel? So can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I am the mother of four daughters, and I am all about spreading universal awareness. I focus on children because I think that's the base, that's where we have to start, but I'm also there for adults as well, and that is who I am. My things that I put in my book is the way I live. It's my lifestyle, so I can really reason with people, and I can relate. That's what I'm trying to say, not reason. Relate to people in learning their path of awareness.
Now, how did you come to become, it seems really, from mother and all that, but how did you get onto this approach that you decided to go onto this path to become, to help open people's, or particularly maybe children as well as adults, the awareness? And it almost sounds gestaltish in a way, of the universe and universal consciousness approach, which we'll delve into that, your approach and your understandings of it. How did you come to this path? I mean, what can you, explain to that or elaborate on
when,
that?
When I was in third grade, I walked in on my aunt watching a movie in Nostradamus, and I was totally enthralled in it. I just loved it, and I just started reading and learning more and expanding my own awareness. Well, I grew up in Sacramento, California until seventh grade, and then my mom moved us to where I live now, which is in Michigan, with a town of 384 people. So there's not very much variety here. There's really one path, and I watched. My oldest daughter went to public school until sixth grade. None of my other children have, but she did. And I watched the closed-mindedness and just not being aware of the whole big picture of life. And so I thought, one day I just thought, you know what, I'm going to write a book that helps expand these people. My daughter's friends would come over, and I would say, we would talk about something, and they would be like, what? That's just so weird. And I really relate to kids, and I think they have so much to offer. And so I decided to write something that would help them expand their awareness. And a lot of it came, too, from me living in a small town, really pushed it, and also homeschooling my four daughters really encouraged me to do something like that.
So it started off from basically the light bulb lit back when you're in a kid, and you said, and that's pretty amazing. And then down the line, you've always had this endeavor to go on this path. Basically, you already had that, already lit toward where you were heading to do this, right?
I did. I I did, and it's so funny because I find notes that I wrote years ago where I would talk about writing a book for awareness and stuff. So it's really neat to see it finally manifest into what it's become. It's amazing.
Now let's get into the meat of the matter, so to speak. I mean, when you talk of the awareness of the universal approach, first of all, what is the universal approach that you're talking about? What is the universal awareness? Let me put it that way. How would you explain that?
My thoughts on the universal awareness is having a strong sense of self and really standing firm in what you believe, and also learning all of the different variety of awareness that's out there. There's Reiki, there's chakras, there's so many different opportunities out there and so many different ways of learning. And I just really feel a lot of my book focuses on standing true to who you are and loving yourself, and I just think having a strong sense of self and stability within is so important. And that's where the awareness starts, is within you. And I think if we're building this foundation in children, then they're going to grow up to be these strong, empowered adults. And that a lot of us are trying to fix that stuff now, as adults and learning more. I just wanted them to be open to all the different avenues and loving themselves. Does that sound good to the question?
Yeah, what I'm thinking what you're trying to do is the core of it is basically developing self-worth and self-love and self-esteem, even as a child, which is actually the process of healing. And then that would translate into, basically opening the eye. The person then has a real open perspective on views and as well as approaches, where they have more doors to select as far as what paths they want, and instead of being limited to one path on its own course. But I think that's great what you're doing, because I think that the biggest problem, people always put Band-Aids on problems, and a part of the problem for political, social, with people know my politics, and of course organized religions and stuff, is they tend to diminish people's self-worth, and that's so people make the wrong choices because their self-worth is diminished. And I think the only reason why we're in these embodiments in the first place is to heal ourselves in the first place and to develop self-esteem. Hello. And I think it's great what you're doing. And that's the nip of the bud. I had a guest on, and I had Spension before, and he talks the approach of the esoteric agendas and Kamatica and all that, and another guest. And there's a thing called I've been honored to be asked to meet with the elders of the Hopi Nation, which I'll be the first, I guess, second non-Indian to meet with, in which they have the sort of the same understanding that we've divorced ourselves from the universe and nature, which I relate to. But I think that bridge that we lost, the connection, has a lot to do with our own self-esteem, because if you don't have your vibration of your own self-esteem isn't raised, you cannot connect with the universe. So it's hard to communicate with your universe if you are so still stuck in it's like being in you're still stuck in gear one, and when the universe is actually vibrating at five, and you can't get there until you're at five, basically. Is this what you're trying to do?
It is, and that's my main thing. I want people to understand that loving yourself, we're taught from, a little age that's selfish to do this and do that for yourself, that's really selfish. And I want these people to understand that loving yourself, there's so much love out there. You have so much within you. Just spread it and give it to yourself, because that is going to build you up. And a lot of people I watch, I've watched people around here, they're scared of empowered people. I'm just speaking from my perspective, from my town, and they're really scared of powerful people, especially anyone who's empowered as a woman. And they destroy their children's self-esteem. I've watched it over and over and over, because they want to feel powerful. They are the dictator. They are the parent. And you just do as you're told. And so with my book, I just really wanted to help these little girls build their own sense of self-worth, even if they aren't getting it from their parents. And that was really important to me.
Now I noticed you wrote the books separately, both of them for boys and girls. Why write them separately? Why not just make them one at the same, both boys and girls?
With the boys, I took more of a masculine approach. I did, I think they would work vice versa, either way. But I just, with the boys, I wanted to do a real masculine approach to it and maybe touch on some issues that have more of an effect on boys than they do girls and things like that. I did a lot of Native American traditions and Peruvian traditions in the boys' guide. And so I just went, like I said, more masculine with the boys' version.
So they can get that, so it's basically identification, like, you know, hey, boys with football and basketball or Indian Native Americans or whatever, you know, how little kids might be more, boys might be very aggressive in their outlook of things and, you know, socially, and then girls more like, you know, I won't say Barbie dolls, but in that approach. And is that what I'm gathering at?
Right, with the girls, like I said.
Is that
with
the
girls,
thing?
Is that your, like, way of... On the on like guardian angels, and with the boys I went with spirit guides. Not that boys don't have guardian angels, but I just went with a softer approach. So that was my idea with it.
Well, just that that's what I'm saying. It's basically you're trying to do so that somebody. It's basically so you can when you try to explain to somebody, you relate to them to another thing. So the kids are sort of the same thing, so that they
right.
can relate. I mean. When people talk of spiritual guides on the Western society, you might think of the spiritual guide in Judeo-Christian as some angel, and then you go to a Native American, the same guide, because they relate to, it might be even the same guide, is actually in a form of an animal, and then you go to the Far East, and it'd be another whole different characteristic of a quasi-animal, humanic personification that might be some, you know, like of a god, or even further, like the Taoism or the other Asians, where they, you know, look upon like the father and the Shintoists, but they'll have a different type of identification. So it's based on their perspective. So you're doing it based on their perspectives of how they look at things to identify and things
right.
to relate
Definitely.
To so they can grow from it. So how do you go and to get them to go, okay, hey, you know what? You are, you know, how do you, what is your method to get them to develop their self-esteem? How do you tell somebody besides looking in the mirror and tell them, oh, you know, do kumbaya on them, tell them, hey, you know, you really are, God loves you, or universe loves you, or however you want to approach it, you're really better than you think you are, you know, what everybody, you've heard means and 400 millions of self-help books do it and whatever, which way.
Right,
you're,
definitely. The difference
how, what is your approach?
My approach is, I want them to have fun while learning and expanding. So my approach is in a workbook fashion where they can really work with themselves. It's not just a read, read, read. It's more you read and then you do an activity. So you can really build on your personality, on where you're at on your path right then. But I also offer workshops all over the United States that are fun and they're empowering and they get them up moving and enjoy themselves, because I think that's part of it, building character, building strength. They can build the strength through these workshops and empower themselves, and before you know it, they're just, you know, they're really confident and strong.
So you do now these workshops that you do, what is the format? That's what I was trying to gather at. What exactly specifically do you do?
My format is I go into a home or I go to an event, whatever the situation is, and I sit down with the kids and I work with them on an overview. Like, okay, I'll give you an example. I do a Chakra Side of Your Spirit for kids in their grown-ups workshop, and this really is focused on the chakras. And what I would do is go in and teach a brief overview of the chakras, just tell them about their energy. I do a feel your energy exercise, and I give them something real. I give them coping mechanisms and tools that they can actually use and see the difference in their life. I've had a lot of reviews on the chakra sizes, and children and adults alike are saying, wow, I could really feel my energy moving. I could really feel this changing. So I think that is my approach, is to really get them up and feeling involved. I don't go in there and say, okay, I am the speaker. You sit, you listen, and, you know, get what you get from it. I really encourage interaction, and I help them to feel their importance of being alive. I mean, we're all here for a reason. Including
right.
them, they're molding their energy just like us.
So you do it by via exercise and experience, basically, is how
yeah,
the method
definitely.
Is your approach. instead of sitting there and lecturing and writing on a chalkboard or something, or spilling it out and then doing the dogma thing on them, and because it's fascinating that you're talking about. It's too bad. Like that would be great if your approaches, were actually to my end. Actually, sort of funny because I wrote this in a book, and actually both of my books. That should be a curriculum in school, I believe.
If this is our
curriculum in all our schools, then even like you said, teaching kids, I think even helping kids develop their own self-worthiness and self-esteem would translate to the parents, and the parents doing the same thing. You know what? If kids had self-esteem, self-worth, right then there it would wipe out the problems with gang violence. It would wipe out the problems of poverty. It would change the dynamics, especially within this society, in this bubble of within the United States. But if that translated around the world, it would be, universal. But I mean, it's great what you're trying to do. Now, what is your view? What is your perspective on how you see things in the universe? I mean, you have a very universal approach, but it's very quasi. What is your approach? What is your view?
My view is it's all in perception, and we're creating our reality. That's my view on everything. I feel like I think if we realize we're creating our reality, then there's no blame because we know we're doing it. I also believe that there's a great shift taking place. I see it every day. I see it in everyone and everything, whether they know it or not. There is a shift taking place, and it's all in your perception of how you take it and your intentions on how to run with it is the way I look at it, and that's why, teaching our children, I go back to that, is because they are going to go along with the shift, and they're going to make it an amazing event for our whole world.
And you're talking, of course, the shift that everybody's talking about, the 2012 shift.
Right.
And that's interesting because I see a lot of people. There's actually a swing. People are like running, going to that side, but then I also see people holding on. I mean, stringently trying to hold on to their old approaches and old way of thoughts and old way of doing things. I mean, and then we also have the problem of, I think people have to remove themselves from the Messiah complex of he's going to save me. And I think that's the problem with the situation in our own dynamics with change. We want change. And then that some guy, some woman or some man is going to change it for us, which is sort of the Obama thing, which I think to me turned out to be a facade.
I agree
real.
With you, definitely. And that it's too bad because people are. They're just waiting for someone to fix them. They think it's going
to
magically happen.
See, and that's how I feel like people think of the E.T. situation, that they think that E.T.s are just going to, or that approach, oh, they're going to come here and save us and help us. And I says, why would they? They're looking at us like a bunch of barbarians. When we're going to get it straight, And
people need to realize within.
Hello, I'm sorry?
Oh, I was just saying people need to realize how they can, it's within, they can take care of it all within instead of waiting for some outside person to come along and fix it.
Like it's self-empowerment. Now, don't you feel that by self-empowering, though, that would be a threat to those who are in those authorities? Because you got to realize if you build up the self-esteem and self-worth of individuals, that would be counter to a lot of those people in authority, and that would include the people, whether it's both in the economic empowering situations or political empowering situations, whether it's in authoritative situations. Don't you feel that would be sort of a threat in some sense?
I do, but I
mean, your approach is a... I'm sorry?
I'm sorry, that's their perception of it being a threat. But I think people are scared of empowered people. I see it all the time, and that's why people act like they do. They want to keep them living in fear. Even if there's nothing to fear, they're still going to create something to make them fear so that they can keep in control. And it's just too bad because parents do it with children. I mean, people just do it in general. So I think of it as it being a threat. I guess I've never really thought of it that way because I think it's your strength. You own it, so... Why should you subside for anybody is my viewpoint.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, And you know, for every action there is a reaction. So if you're developing light within, let's say, children, for example, and developing their self-worthiness, you know, there's going to be a definite, you know, wanting to counter that from people not like the others. Let's say, I don't want to say the others, but people have these other thought patterns that are misconstrued, or I would say walking toward the, in a dark way, would not appreciate. And therefore maybe, you know, have, you know, apprehensive of what you're trying to do. That's what I was trying to explain.
I have had a lot of resistance, actually. Even by people in the spiritual field, they're saying, kids, no. And I don't know. It seems like it doesn't make sense to me. If they feel threatened by it, I don't know. I guess I don't know on that answer, because I don't really think of it as threat. I just think of it as building these empowered, beautiful human beings to love themselves and create harmony within their own lives and make it an option.
And so, like, in people who are challenging you in a way, you just sort of brush them off. In other words, you don't even pay attention. You got that?
I really don't.
I would say, in putting in basketball terms, because I'm a big Laker fan here, you have that Kobe eyes on the basket. you don't see the defender in your face.
I think if I'm teaching these children and I'm teaching my children to be strong and true to who they are, and I waver from that, then who am I to guide anybody else?
So I'm very
firm in it.
That's really cool. Now, you said you had some resistance in among people who consider them spiritual, whatever.
Right.
But why would you? I don't understand how you. Why would people resist wanting to develop children and open their eyes to spirituality? I mean, it would be the opposite, you know, because kids are indoctrinated with such, you know, the original sin in Christianity, and then there's the guilt thing within Judaism, and Islam, the same thing, guilt and fear approaches that. And kids are indoctrinated, almost like put into their blood and everything, and their grays, and it just goes through that same cycle. It doesn't make any sense. Why would any person of says there's in a spiritual path be counter to your approach? I mean, that would be the opposite. I mean, you start with
you
the foundation
be,
of.
Yeah, it's been pretty. I've had a lot of people where I've said, can I come to your event? I'll do it for free. I don't care. It's not about money. It's about spreading a message. And can I come to your event and do my workshop and encourage kids? And they'll say, no, we don't welcome kids at our events. It's too much. It's not going to fly. This isn't a kid event, which is really surprising to me, because I think, where do you start? That's my opinion on it. So, but like in my small town, my newspaper did an article on me for the when I wrote my first book came out, and the editor of the newspaper was really open, and he said, well, I'm going to tell you, he's like, I'm going to have to word this really, really gently, Robin, because he said, this is stir up a lot of people in the town, because it's different. It's something that they're not used to. So
now the town that you grew up, is it because it sounds like it's very, almost like Bible Belt Christian, is that what you're saying? Is it very restricted
extremely.
In that sense? Oh, wow.
So they
think that you're like basically a the Antichrist or some devilish thing, or wow.
Yes, I have been called everything you can imagine, and I've also it's to the point where people won't talk to me, like they shun me, like I'm a witch or something. It's sad. That's the way I look at it. It's sad that people are so scared of something different. They're so scared of it. And around here, people are very, I've had people go to my mother's house and say they fear for the safety of my children. I've had friends who, I made a comment about having tarot cards, and that was it. She's never spoke to me since then, except for to tell me they were evil and the devil's tool. So it is. It's very, very one-track minded around here, which is fine with me. I don't care. Because it really
But you'd be amazed that it's not just isolated in your town. There's a lot like that. I live in Las Vegas right now. Hopefully, we'll be moving back to Los Angeles. And yet, how big Vegas is, and people think of Vegas all the Sin City, but in Las Vegas, it's one of the has more churches per capita than any city in the country. And people would be surprised how the Mormon influence, as well as a very neo-Christian closed-in ideas that are in here, that in this town, that any liberal or more open-minded approaches toward, from politics to especially now spirituality, they're looked at as oddities in around the city. I mean, they're almost like a small niche, in, you can say. I mean, it is growing, but it's weird. It's almost like a niche. They're looked at like, oh, they're like a cult. They look at anybody who's involved with spirituality is almost cult. They'll use the word cultish.
Right.
I had that thrown at me, which is sort of funny because I told them I studied Kabbalism. What the hell do you think Jesus worked on, okay?
Yeah.
Because then wouldn't that have been a cult? And then you are a cult, okay? But it's fascinating, and especially on the approaches of how, you know, when you're talking about children, because I've often said that, and people get really weirded out because, you know, they want to restrict kids from seeing certain things. Like, it's okay to show, now that sounds pretty bizarre, but it's okay to show kids a bunch of violence on TV, and I'm not talking cartoon violence, because, you know, watching Roadrunner getting blown up or something, or blowing up the other coyote. But they actually show, I mean, serious violent stuff on TV, and they get all weirded out if, you know, something sexual is on TV, which is not, I don't think it's cool for those kids to see that, because I think it's a thing, but it's, you know, nobody ever died from that, and nobody got died from that, but the other one, that's pretty negative in the society, especially for kids that consistently see it and be indoctrinated, yet, you know, to me, it's just, to me, sometimes hypocritical the way they look at people and opening their eyes with spiritualism or like what you're trying to do, especially with kids. That's why I was surprised that they wouldn't open, you know, with an, you know, perhaps maybe you should try doing an expo or something like in LA. They have, I think, every so often expos with sort of like what your approach is, and having maybe involvement with children that might be a way of spreading out. I mean, it tends to be, you know, you got to basically start with some place, and, you know, you can't go in a place where they just want to live within a secluded wall, and maybe with people who are more open-minded, first start on that approach, and hopefully that'll ripple to other ends. With that, have you ever tried going toward, like, that approach? Hello? Hello? Hello, Robin? My producer had just told me that we're temporarily gone on break. But I'm not on break. I'm still here. Apparently there are some technical... we lost Robin there on the other line, so hopefully we'll reconnect her for some reason and we'll get back online here. But I think that was quite fascinating what she is trying to do, and I think it is great news what she is trying to approach, and hopefully we'll get her back online. And
I'm back. I'm sorry about that. I walked out where I could. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So I felt like I was talking to myself for a second there. You know, when
I'm
you start
so
talking
sorry.
On the phone, they go, "Hey, hello, anybody there?" That's okay. So we had like that temporary break or temporary, or they call it technical difficulty there. But now I forgot what I was going to ask you. But my thing was, I was now in the process. Of what you're trying to do. I know you told me exercises of what you do, and you gave a short example. Could you give like an example of, give an exercise, what you would do specifically, let's say with both, let's say girls and guys, and you had little boys and girls you had in the classroom A, and you were going to work through something. Could you give a specific example, like in more detail, of how you would do, you know, your exercises or what?
Okay, one of the other workshops I have many, but one of the other ones is Vision Your Abundance, and I'll teach a child about creating their own reality. I don't really go deep because I keep it real simple because they're kids and they they like to learn. They don't like to be hammered with information. They like to learn. And so there's a lot of back and forth participation, and then we'll make a vision board, and I'll explain how the vision board works in the law of attraction and give them that sense of something real where they can put something on a poster board. It's like I said, they're real simple and they're really fun. And that's why I encourage the parents to come too, because I say we forget to play as adults. So bring your child and come on out and bring your inner child, and we're going to have a great time, and you're going to learn and grow from it. And I think that with the Envision Your Abundance workshop, the children really gain a sense of, I guess, awareness of law of attraction, which is very important.
Okay, now I remember what I was going to ask you, that you hung up on the phone on me and told me basically it'll go F off, okay? But what I was bringing up was that you were, I was asking if, I know that you talked about bringing your coaching classes workshops.
Workshops.
Events. Have you tried any expo events in, like, let's say Los Angeles or other areas, or San Francisco, or and on the East Coast, or New York? And there's even areas in, like, Florida, Georgia, cities that are more open to exposing children to greater understanding with awareness through your approach.
I really contact everybody. I mean, I do a statewide search. I do emails constantly. I'm constantly trying to get to those events. I do expos all the time. I was just in Kentucky last weekend, and I'm headlining one in Birch Run in Michigan, which is surprising, Birch Run, Michigan, down in Birch Run, Michigan, obviously, in June, the end of this month. So it's really just based on the person who's running it. It's really their decision. Because I've had some of them email me like, why would you go with that way, and why are you doing that, and all that stuff. And I just, explain to them that this is the way I go, and this is what I want to do with it. And a lot of them won't respond, or they don't, or they just say, no, this is not a kid event. We're not interested. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll move along. I'm not going to dwell on it. There's too much opportunity out there.
The reason I was asking, because I think it was like, 3-4 months ago, they had a big, huge expo, and they do them every two or three different ones in Los Angeles, I know of. One actually just in Burbank, which is technically in L.A., and usually they bring huge, huge events. And the other one I would suggest, since you do Native American approaches and stuff like that, and I don't think they would be disinvalid to talk about it, but maybe even at some powwows, you can possibly not necessarily be a function of it, but perhaps meet with people, elders there who could, there's usually tend to be people who are interested in Native American spirituality, tend to be open toward workshops and things like that as well. So I doubt you would be able to obviously do a workshop or anything there, or event, but it'd be a way of spreading the word, as you could say. I think there's multitude of ways you can probably get your course out. And like I said, even private schools, I'm surprised. There are a lot of, perhaps, I'm not talking private schools on the religious side, but there might be other ones who might be open-minded to for children and that. But then again, some parents might feel that they're teaching them religion or spiritual, and they might be, disconcerting about that. But, it's fascinating what you're trying to do, and I think it's really great, great, great what you're trying to do. But getting back to, again, the meat, I know we delve a little bit, but what is your perspective on, let's say, when you're teaching with children and kids, what is the, like the cause and effect. Like, you've worked with so many kids. Afterwards, what has happened with children that you've seen come about? I mean, you said that they feel the difference and they've seen different things, and I know their parents have. But how long have you been doing this? First, I should ask you.
I have been doing this for about 2 years.
So after two years. 2 years. what are the results of the children that have been working in your workshops along with adults?
The results have been really good, actually. A lot of people will email or post reviews or whatever they do about how amazing their energy feels and how it opens them up, which is really exciting. I had a 10-year-old little girl email me just out of nowhere and say, wow, whenever I'm having a bad day, I pick your book up and I just open it and I can find an exercise that really helps me find my center and feel good. And, you know, I use these same exercises with my daughters, you know, the attitude of gratitude, things like that. I really implement in them and every other child that I see, and they just feel so much more good about themselves. That's what I want to say. They can feel that when they come into my workshop, they can feel the connection where I'm open, I'm ready to, you know, ready to guide them, but I'm not going to boss them. Does that make sense? And
yeah.
That's what I...
And how do they, after that, how they, when they're doing that, when they, you know, because the biggest this issue is when, and I know it's short term because you're only been in this for a couple years, but I was curious, like, on... You know, we always meet certain challenges in our lifetimes, both, you know, our own choosing and karmically, which is sort of co-created, that those challenges that they meet, and sometimes some people, or, you, you know, I'm just curious how kids, like, you know, you're teaching, like, an adult, for example, because I was involved, actually, something very similar to what you're doing, but it was more with adults, and then I had a spiritual teacher, she had classes every Wednesday. She had certain exercises, and she'd consistently doing, but it was basically straight toward adults to develop their self-esteem and stuff, where she had certain classes straight for that. And what would happen was you had where they would go, you know, maybe one step up and then three steps backwards. And because they would be hitting, they'd see a challenge, and they get all freaked out over them and go, oh, my God, this is... not to how it's supposed to be, and they're thinking that it's all kumbaya, like, you know, they're not to have certain challenges in their life that somehow they're going to open up the doors and the pearly gates are going to open and they're going to be in this blissful state where there's, you know, never, you know, the challenges of daily life, you know. So my question to you, and she's shown how you're supposed to change that and challenge that, and that's part of your self-esteem, the part of the growth. How do you show that to kids when, you know, kids see something challenging in their life? Let's say, for example, you're teaching a kid how to, you know, self-esteem and stuff, and somehow they are, you know, they, God forbid, their parents die, or God forbid, something even worse. I don't want to say, you know, something travesty. I don't want to get into even project that, but something, you know, very manipulative or very concerning to them, and yet you've been trying to show them to overcome that. What would be the reaction from those kids that are going through your classes? Have you ever heard anything coming back that, hey, you know, I met this challenge, but I was able to overcome it by the children, or what? That's my question. You know, the whole problem.
I have not, and maybe that's because I've just been doing it for a short time, but I haven't ever heard anything like that at all. The most I've ever heard was that, what I just told you about that little girl, when she was, you know, stressed out or whatever, she would just pick up the book and it would help her center. I haven't had any situation like that at all. So I really couldn't answer that because I don't, I haven't had to deal with it, thankfully. So
what would you do if a child said, you know, came to you and said, you know, Robin, I have this real problem. I have my dad's a, you know, God forbid, he beats up my mom or whatever. And I'm not even going to say the other stuff because that's pretty sickening.
Right.
And how does your reaction, how would you tell that kid, the young girl or young boy, to deal with that? In a spiritual
sense. My reaction... I can relate to that. I lived in a very domestically violent home when I was a child. So in that situation, I could really relate with them. But I think I would focus on, you know, I guess I would probably be concerned with them calling the authorities. But as far as dealing with it within them, I would have to show them that they are the strength within and empower them and keep doing it. I mean, if I have to do session after session after session, that's fine to just help them build up who they are, because they have to realize that a situation like that does not stem from anything they did. It doesn't stem from who they are, and it doesn't mean that they have to repeat that pattern, because in our world, repeating patterns is really a big thing, so you can always stop that. So that is the way I would react to it.
Okay, and see, that leads me to my next question, is that would probably, or not even just questions, just a thought, as they say, food of thought, I guess, or a thought of food, whatever, how that said me, I'm sort of dyslexic here, of doing it with, proposing it to, kids who have been abused, and you know how they have those psychological and all that stuff. Have you ever thought about working with a social worker, psychologist with kids and doing that? Because that would be a really great help. You know, or even gang kids, working with social programs with kids. And that would be another avenue to, expand your coaching and development and help for children. Have you ever thought
Definitely.
About doing that too?
I would. I am open to doing anything like that. I think those kids mainly need someone to empower them, and they need reprogrammed. I like to say that we're programmed from birth. We're always set limits. And children, abused children, they really go through a lot, and they have to come to terms with who they are. And that's where that self-love comes in, too. I have a nephew who my sister has been very neglectful his entire life. She doesn't want him. He's been passed around through the family a million times because she doesn't want him. And he will stand up, and he's 9 years old, and he will say, "I don't deserve to live. I should die." And I tell my mom, I said, "You guys are not helping him. He has to get the strength from within." Just telling him is helpful. It's beneficial. But I said, "You have to teach him from within." So I deal with that. He was emotionally abused, not physically abused. But I deal with that, too. And I would love to help empower children, no matter their circumstance. And those are the kids that really need it. So, all kids need it.
Well, all kids do it, but it's just the circumstances of certain challenges that, how to overcome them. And because I think ultimately, when we all, like I said, co-create, and this is, I had this heavy conversation with somebody who got really upset when I got into it. There are no victims. We're all volunteers.
Exactly.
And I guess because
I
of his childhood, he had been whatever done to him, and then therefore, he said, "I was an addictive," and so is that by choice? And says, "Yeah, ultimately, you're the one who put the thing in your mouth, and you also chose." But that, in the higher sense, you, on your higher realm, what they call the oversoul, you chose before coming into your embodiment that life that you're about to have, including your parents, including all the things. But then the same choice. Time, it gives you the opportunity to choose. So when you come into a situation that's challenging, no matter how bad it is, and I'm saying how worse, I'm talking about, being abused physically, sexually, mentally, whatever. Actually, ultimately, that is really by choice. But that also gives you the opportunity to grow from that. Because I've met people who are very spiritually, who have been evolved from that, in magnitudes. It's like somebody give you such a hard thing in life, and all of a sudden they sprung over it, so therefore they leap jumped their own vibrational spirituality and their own healing from that. And once when you learn that lesson, you've grown from it, you're not going to end up needing to go back on that same lesson because you've already learned it. But those are your own choices. So thinking that way, I don't know if you agree with my concepts.
I absolutely do. It's refreshing.
Now, how
to
do you? Now, how
abused.
Can you see? The problem is, how do you tell children that, hey, Johnny, the reason why you chose your dad, and you chose your mom, not the other way around, and because you chose your mom and dad, and now it's your choice to how you react to it. How do you deal with that? I mean, you can do that with an adult to some extent. It seems really hard to do that with a child, though.
But I think that's where you need to start. If you have a child who is feeling out of place or they've been abused, that's when you need to grab a hold of them and say, hey, this is your choice. You are not a victim, because that's why we grow up and we all have these victim personalities. I watch people all around me, poor me, poor me. Well, no, not poor you. You picked it. You don't have to repeat the cycle. That's your choice. And with a child, they're so impressionable, and they're molding all of their energy right now, and taking the time to show them and say, okay, here's an example. You know, use your own life, use whatever, someone off that you've read about, whatever. But if they can see it, then they can grasp it. And I have a 4-year-old daughter, and I teach her that, you know, she does not have to repeat the cycles, that these are her choices. And I lived in a very dysfunctional family. I had it all. I mean, I was very low self-esteem. I was 17 and pregnant. My dad beat my mom. I mean, we were homeless numerous times. But I made the choice to stop it and move forward. Now, my sisters, on the other hand, it's like walking into our childhood. So it just really becomes a personal choice. But if they learn that they have that choice, even at a young age, even as, you know, as young as can be, if they realize they're creating their reality from a young age, then they're going to be able to grasp that and move forward with it. I tell my daughter just this morning, my youngest daughter, my second youngest, she's 4, and she was being whiny and angry, and I said, Carly, I said, you can get rid of your yucky attitude right now and have a beautiful day, or you can stay in it, and you're going to have that kind of day. It's up to you. It's your choice. And I think that that teaches them coping mechanisms as they grow to how they're creating their day.
Wow, that's pretty good. So you basically that's pretty interesting. I mean, basically get right into the scope, into their, basically how they would look at it, you know, how children might be. Because people think kids are not, you know, as developed as you might think, but you'd be rather surprised, you know.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of children, they're born with certain issues, but, you know, those issues are reinforced by their own authoritative, closed-minded ways that their parents or uncles or whatever, aunts or whatever, are projected on them, or authoritative people. So it just reinforces the same negativity. Now, I got one question, because we got a few minutes here, but I want to, so people know how to get in touch with you, how they can get hold of your books, as well as getting your coaching, both for adults as well as children. How would they be able to get to do this, or get your books on the internet, sir?
They can get my books anywhere, barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com, lovinghealing.com, which is my publisher. They can also get a hold of me through my website, which is www.aurasenseguide.com, which is just like it sounds, for aura, sense, and then guide. And also my email, which is rmarvel@aurasenseguide. Or they can call, which is 231-679-5713.
Wow. See, that was pretty simple.
Yeah.
Straight to the point.
I'm very excited to hear from people, so.
Yeah, everybody out there, do contact Robin. I think this is really, in fact, this book here, I got one of them. I have a granddaughter. She's going to be 26. I know this is a little young probably for her, but I don't think so after looking at it, because she's actually goes pretty, she's a quick learner or whatever. She always, she already thinks she's already sings and dances and thinking. My daughter's about to teach her piano and that, but she's real quick. I gotta get this to her. But I think it's highly. I mean, God bless you for what you're doing, because I think it's great, what you're doing for children. Because I noticed that people who are into, as you talked about in spirituality, they always present their understandings and things to adults, but nobody I have ever seen, except for you, and that's what caught my eye, has gotten to the root, which is, getting to children, because by doing that, I personally think is the pebble that will vibrate in the pond to other souls, which would be their parents and so on. And sometimes the greatest teachers are actually the children who end up teaching the parents and grandparents and so on. It could be the other way around. Sometimes we learn from our kids as you grow, you know, and seeing them develop, and vice versa, of course. But I think it's great, great what you're doing, and I really want to thank you. And it's been an honor to have you on my show.
And
do keep in touch. I'd love to have you on when, you know, down the line, when you even have another big project coming up or another development, to keep in touch, and I'd love to have you back on my show. And again, Everybody,
thank
do
you
contact
so much.
Robin. Thank you very, very much for coming on my show. And with
yes.
that, I want to say to everybody, God bless you all, and listen, this is Strange Child by Susan Tony, and she will be on my show next week. Thank you.
Bro.